Planning Commission meeting of Tuesday, September 18th to order. Can I get a roll call, please?
Commissioner Martin is absent tonight. Commissioner George?
Yes, here.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Here.
Commissioner Mack?
Here.
And Commissioner Shiro?
Here.
If you could please stand for the flag salute.
States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll move on to agenda review. Do any of the commissioners wish to revise any items on tonight's agenda? No? Hearing none. We'll move to community comments. This is when we invite members of the public to come speak on items not on tonight's agenda. Is there anyone in the audience who'd like to come speak up tonight?
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Mary Jean Sage, and I'm here this evening representing the Healthy Communities Work Group. And I'm here to bring you an invitation to be our guest at our upcoming community workshop on health and housing. Building the connection. As a subcommittee of Heal Slow, Healthy Communities Work Group is a collection of community members and volunteers representing over 18 organizations in San Luis Obispo County. SLOCOG, Public Health, ACPD, the Health Commission, Environmental Health, the Planning Commissioners from the City of SLO, SLO County Planning Department itself, Caltrans, HomeShare SLO, CAP SLO, and Cal Poly City and Regional Planning Department. Our group's focus is the impact of the built environment in health settings. And our group reviews proposed land development projects that come through our county planning department. And recently, we have been collaborating with a number of the other jurisdictions in our county, including Atascadero, Arroyo Grande. We have seen some plans from you and now have one for Grover Beach. We've all identified housing as a significant need locally. Safe, affordable, adequate housing is a cornerstone of any healthy community. We know that housing enables people to build roots in their community, to get to know their neighborhoods, build a social network of support, and become civically engaged. Our summit will be held Thursday, October the 4th, from 1 to 6, and is being held at the SLO Vets Hall in San Luis. Our keynote speaker will be Allison Albee from Change Lab Solutions, whose talk is entitled Under One Roof, How Comprehensive Healthy Housing Strategies Improve Our Health Outcomes. Her address will be followed by a local panel that will discuss what's happening locally to connect health and housing. The panel includes housing leaders throughout San Luis Obispo County. We'll end our event with a reception, a little wine tasting, and a time for mingling. The event is free, but we would ask that you register in advance so that we know to expect you, and I left you all a flyer about how to register. So we do invite you to come, and we hope that we will see some of you there.
Thank you very much for that invitation.
Thank you for the invite.
Did anyone else wish to speak tonight on items not on tonight's agenda?
What's on tonight's agenda?
I think we have it published.
Halcyon, staff. Fair Oaks, traffic impact.
Correct. Yes, the Halcyon project is on tonight's agenda.
Patty Walsh, Arroyo Grande. I was at the forum the other night and listened to some of the board members here speak. And the one item is off the agenda tonight, but I just want to say, water, strong issue in this community. Traffic's another one, and fire. I can't get the police department out on Wasna to patrol traffic out there because they're spread so thin other places. Every time you guys approve a project, other places are suffering because they don't have the police or the fire department's being stretched so thin. Please, I heard what you said about this at the forum. Please think about that as you keep putting these projects forward. It is impacting our city, and it's not in a good way, I don't think. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak tonight on items not on tonight's agenda? No. Hearing none, I'll close the community comments. And we move to written communications. Looks like we received two new items that were not in our packet.
That's correct. Two new items, both relating to item 8A.
And commissioners all received both items. Yes.
I didn't receive two. I just got one.
Did you get the memo?
Oh, yeah, we got the continuing.
Yeah. Okay.
That was already in there.
So we'll move on to the consent agenda, consideration approval of minutes from September 4th regular Planning Commission meeting.
I move that we adopt approval of the minutes for August 21st, 2018.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the minutes. Can I get a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
Commissioner Shiro?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Yes.
Commissioner George?
Yes. Motion carries. And we're moving on to public hearing item 8A, the consideration of vesting tentative tract map 16-002. Conditional.
I'm going to have to step down on that one.
Okay. Consideration of vesting tentative tract map 16-002, conditional use permit 16-007, and mitigated negative declaration subdivision and construction of a 23 residential units and a 506-square-foot neighborhood coffee shop. The location is 362-382 South Halcyon Road. The applicant is Stacy Bromley, and the representative is Stephen Puglisi Architects. And I believe that it is recommended that the Planning Commission continue this public hearing to a date uncertain, as per the memo we received. Commissioners received that memo as well.
Just quick discussion. We didn't receive anything regarding this application for us to review. So I recommend continuance as well, but it would be nice. I don't even know whether we can entertain public testimony if we don't even have anything in front of us to review or to respond to. So just keep that in mind. But I make the motion that we do continue it based on staff's recommendation and not having anything here to review.
So typically our policy would be that we allow public comment on this item if it's been continued to a date certain. However, because it has been continued to a date uncertain, at this time it is our recommendation that we do not take public comment on this item, as well as we're missing one of our main commissioners. So when this item does come before us again, the comments would need to be resubmitted. So I think at this point I'll just take it to a commission vote to see if public comment should be addressed.
I think you need a second. So I'll second that.
So we have a motion and a second to withhold public comment until the public hearing for this item comes before us. I'll have staff answer that. Not at this time. Yes, and we just received a memo that says date uncertain. So, Teresa?
Yes. Thank you, commissioners. Just as published in the agenda before you, the applicant for this project has requested this item be continued. Initially, the request was for a date certain, and that's what went out in the packet. Subsequently, we did receive correspondence that the applicant is requesting the item be continued to a date uncertain. What this means is when the project comes back, and we are unsure when that will be at this time, we will re-notice the neighborhood and post it. A notice on the city's websites and outside and in the paper as we do all our noticing. Historically, the commission on these items, we don't provide the information because we actually don't know what the project will be when it comes before you. We, as you mentioned, Commissioner George, if it's a date certain and the audience members know they cannot make it, that the courtesy has been allowed for public comment. In this case, it's to a date uncertain. We don't know when that's going to be. And it's probably premature to receive public comment, although that is certainly in the purview of the commission.
I'll just make a comment that I did not receive a packet or any information regarding this project, so any public comment that comes before me would be heard without any in relation to anything relating to this project. So for me, I believe it'd be premature for me to hear comments because I don't have any details on this project. Commissioners, do you have any comments on that?
I would concur. Yeah, I don't know where the driveways are. I don't even know what the project looks like or the scale or anything. So for me, for the public's benefit, I think you need to have your 3 minutes worthwhile to speak about the project and know what the project's all about. And we're up here and we don't even know what it's about. We haven't seen it. All we have is a notice of the project, a description. So I'm thinking continuing it and continuing your comments so you all can be heard.
The other thing to think about, too, is that quite often when this happens is that there's changes are being made in the project. And so if you've seen a blueprint or anything that's at City Hall, there's a good chance that you might be commenting on something that never comes to fruition. So,
how is the public notified? In the mail?
Sir, I'll invite you to come to the podium if you wish to.
My name is David Elledge. I'm a resident of Alder Street. And I'd like to know how I'm going to be notified. I just heard about this meeting through word of mouth. And so I want to definitely be notified to show up at the next meeting so I can speak.
Sure. Understandable. I'll have staff answer that question for you.
Certainly. Thank you, Chair George. As Teresa mentioned, we do a number of different outreach methods for notification. So the state law requires that we notify all property owners within 300 feet of the project site, as well as post the public hearing notice in a newspaper. So we pick the Tribune. We post it at City Hall on the city's website. So if you're signed up to receive notifications on the city's website, that's one good way for folks to be notified. Additionally, if folks contact me directly and they can be added to the contact list for this project, I will send a notification directly to them in case they're outside of that 300-foot buffer.
Does that answer your question, sir?
Yes, I'd like to
okay.
My name. And
absolutely. You can do that right after the meeting. Thank you so much. Okay, we have a motion and a second.
Before we...
Yes.
I live with at all about all this program. My name is James Snodgrass on the corner of Alder and Fair Oaks. So for this coming up and then you saying we have to give some type of vocal right now when we were told that we're not supposed to, that it's going to be postponed, all this seems kind of thrown off right now. So I'm going to step back and listen.
And I appreciate that. We received a packet and it had this item on it and it was continued. Excuse me, could you please sit? Thank you. It was continued to a date of October 16th,
yes.
And we recently received, and I want to say it was an email today, that it was continued to a date uncertain.
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 So that
means that the project doesn't have a specific date as to when it's going to be brought.
But we're here now because the applicant asked us to be. He took your time. He took our time. It seems fairly disingenuous at best.
And I understand that. Unfortunately,
so
I can only go
here,
with...
Why don't you listen to what we've gathered to give you some semblance? It doesn't matter if the thing isn't in front of you yet.
Because the commission doesn't know what you are referring to right now because we have nothing in front of us in relation to what you will be speaking of. So in order for
That's
your comments...
They've already published...
I understand, ma'am. I'm not going to get into a discussion with
they've
you about this. We have a motion... And a second.
If we manage to figure it out what they plan, you guys should have it in front of you.
We have a motion and a second to withhold public comment until the item is returned.
At the uncertain date. Yippee. Bravo.
I have two more things I want to add
yes.
to that motion. First of all, question to Matt Is there a sign on the project of the date of the hearing?
There is, and that will be updated when the new hearing date is scheduled.
Okay. Can we also make it within our motion, anyone who's picked up a speaker slip and who's filled it out and took the time and that wants to talk, to ensure that they're on the mailing list?
Certainly.
Whether or not they're within 300 feet?
Certainly.
Thank you.
Do you want to amend your motion to include that?
Yeah, I would like to amend the motion to include any new mailings for this project, to include anybody who's took the time to fill out the speaker slip, whether or not they're within 300 feet of the property.
Right, and I have Sharon Mulkey, Diana Foster, Charlotte Wilson, Erica Horn, Mary Jean Sage, David Bruce Elledge, and anyone else who wishes to be on that mailing list. If you're not within 300 feet, please feel free to fill out a speaker slip and hand it to staff at the end of the meeting.
I'll second that motion.
We have a motion and a second. Can we get a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
Commissioner Shiro?
Yes.
And Commissioner George?
Yes. And I actually believe we need to make a motion to continue this item, because we just continued the public hearing portion of it.
That's correct. It's to continue it to a date uncertain.
Second.
And we'll get a roll call vote for the motion, please.
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
Commissioner Shiro?
Yes.
And Commissioner George?
Yes. Okay, we're going to move on to Public Hearing 8B, Development Code Amendment Number 18-004, a proposed ordinance making administrative updates to various sections of Title II, Administration and Personnel, Title 10, Vehicles and Traffic, Title 12, Streets, Sidewalks, and Public Places, and Title 16, Development Code of the Aurora Grande Municipal Code. If we could please get a staff report.
I have a question, a public comment question, not about the project.
I'm sorry, but public comment period has closed, so we're already on item 8.
Yes, but I'd like to know about the project on Dotson Way and Halcyon. That has been completely undercover, and I have a memorandum here that says that it's going to be approved.
Yes, I'm sorry. That is not on.
Okay, when can we discuss that with the public? That's an important issue.
So it is not on our agenda tonight, so we can't discuss it tonight.
How will I know? Because I just found out about all the stuff that's been going on behind closed doors. I want some transparency.
I understand.
I want to know.
I understand. You're more than welcome to contact the city.
Matt Downey, will be happy to speak with you outside, ma'am.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to move back on to 8B, staff report, please. Oh, do we need to wait for Matt for the staff report?
No, I'll give it.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you again, commissioners. This item before you is a commonly called a cleanup ordinance, and the reason for that is it's amending several different sections of the Aurora Grande Municipal Code. And the reason for this ordinance before you this evening is because the City Council took action in August and adopted Ordinance 695. That repealed certain chapters of the Municipal Code and disbanded certain advisory bodies for the city. That would be the Traffic Commission, the Parks and Recreation Commission, and the Historical Resources Committee. It also amended Title II concerning the Planning Commission, concerning specifically historic designations, and reassigned duties. During the consideration of the item, the council recognized that there would have to be a follow-up ordinance to make sure that for code consistency, all the references to these committees and commissions were addressed and the assignments holistically done. And that is essentially what's before you this evening. The reason it's coming before the Planning Commission is because there has to be some modifications to Title 16, which is the Development Code. And all modifications to Title 16 have to become before the Planning Commission for a recommendation to the City Council. So before you this evening, the proposed ordinance provides amendments to Chapters 2.18, 2.20, 2.30, 10.10, 12.16, 16.16 and 16.36. And again, as you'll note, going through the proposed amendments, there are simple strikeouts and referring to those committees and commissions, and in some cases, the assignment of duties, either to the Planning Commission or, in some case, various directors for certain items. These proposed changes before you are not considered substantive. They are merely cleanup ordinances, cleanup amendments, and they're directly as a result of the City Council's direction and adoption of Ordinance 695. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Teresa. Do the commissioners have any questions for Teresa? Commissioner? No? Commissioner Mack?
When it comes to the subsection regarding the Historical Resource District designation and criteria, can you walk me through the process if someone comes through the door with a potentially historical renovation based on the rework and the reword of the language here? I'm kind of reading into it that it's at your discretion, being the community development director, of moving it forward or not?
Certainly. And again, I just want to emphasize that the criteria and the procedure is essentially unchanged, except that we are without now one component, and that is the Historic Resources Commission, the committee. So with that, there are a couple of modifications referred to by Commissioner Matt, where things would first come to the HRC. They essentially come to the community development director. We don't get often not often we get a recommendation for a designation, but when we do, we do end up before the commission. You'll just be without the Historic Resources Committee's work in advance, and that will fall in part on staff to review a request and then to the commission to consider it. But the criteria and all the procedural matters other than that are the same.
Okay, thank you. And if there's a modification to a historical building as opposed to the other criteria, how would that work? Would that eventually come to us, being the Planning Commission?
Well, that will depend on the proposed project. If there's a structure that has already been designated, then that does throw it into additional criteria that we have to review when reviewing that project. And that would essentially, unless it was a minor building item, it would come before the commission for consideration of the criteria that's now been moved into your purview.
Thank you for that explanation.
Ms. Valentine?
Yes. I have a concern about that. You know, we reach out to the community to get involved, and then when they do, we take it away from them. So I really don't like, I didn't like eliminating those commissions. I didn't vote for that. And I wanted to make that clear at this point. But with the fact that it has been, those commissions have been dissolved, when I've read through this and when I, after other hearing and I read through those documentations too, I wonder why it couldn't, HRC couldn't have been combined with ARC. They're more appropriately commissioned to look at units, whether they're residential, commercial, within the village or outside. And I think I'd feel more comfortable with it being reviewed, those being reviewed by HRC or ARC, rather than the planning director's decision. The other thing was, you know, those commissions were dissolved because the money and time expended on them to bring them forward for approval. And yet, when I go through this document and I've underlined every place where in red where it becomes directors, development directors, planning decision, I'm sure that your hourly pay is much greater than the ones who reviewed it in the past. Those commissions didn't charge a fee, and the only time that was spent was for administrative time processing and putting the package together. So I don't see where we're saving money, abandoning those commissions, and now we've kind of shut the door on the community's input when we keep reaching out for more community input. I really don't think us as planning commissioners or planning staff are qualified to review what's gone on historically in the community. I'd like to say how many people have read, how many people have actually read this book on the history of Arroyo Grande that tells you, everything you might want to know what's transpired in the past. I just think it would be more appropriately reviewed. If we're not going to have HRC, then ARC look at it versus just making a director's decision. I feel a little like not only this, but the Traffic Commission and the Parks and Recreation Commission. Now we're living a little bit under a dictatorship instead of a democracy by not having the input from the general public. So, that's my comment.
So did you have any questions? Were there areas in
nope.
this that you wanted to change, to update, to yeah. advise staff on?
Other than making a recommendation that it's reviewed by ARC versus the planning director decision, because I think they would be a little bit, they would have more time. They're not going to be as one-sided, maybe, because you have a commission. It's not one person making that decision.
And you're solely referring to the historical portion
yes,
of this.
Yes, the historical. As far as, that's what we're just talking about
uh-huh,
right now.
Yeah,
I'll wait on
right.
to the Parks and Recs until we get to that part.
Okay.
Teresa, wouldn't it be automatically something like that automatically go to the ARC anyway? Any kind of historical facade change? Or?
Very likely. It's just hard because we don't have the type of project. There is some flexibility in the code. For example, in the designation process, it simply removes, there's a whole list, the community development director, the planning commission, the city council, upon recommendation of the HRC. And that's specific to designations. So there's sort of two components. One designation component, which was the bulk of their whole work plan, and then review of projects that may have historic nuances or impacts. So those are, what's before you is not the pros and cons of the disbanding the committees and commissions. Those were discussed in length, certainly, at City Council, and there are pros and cons, certainly. However, before you is simply a cleanup. The reassignment was decided already by the council. This is following suit and just removing the references that are no longer appropriate because the commissions and committees are no longer there.
Do you have any other questions, Commissioner Fowler-Payne?
No, not on the subject of the HRC.
Okay. So I have a question regarding Section 7, 12-16-060G. It says, the director shall cause the physical inspection and inventory of all landmark trees every 3 years to determine their condition and presence, and he or she shall report back his or her findings publicly to the City Council and the Planning Commission via the City Manager. In the time that I've been on the Planning Commission, I have yet to see an inspection and inventory report, and if we're going to be modifying
the code anyways. Would it be a good time for the commission to review whether or not this section is in compliance, whether the implementation has occurred, whether or not we need to modify it to say 5 years or as needed? I know if it's every 3 years, I've been on the Planning Commission long enough to know that I've never received a report. So I just wanted to get some feedback.
Thank you. Good question. This is a section that is embedded in the code in Title 12, which talks a lot about our tree ordinance. The director in this case is in reference to the Public Works director. And as regards to your question, whether now is a good time to make that modification and how often a report should be made to the commission and council, I would say no, not at this time. This is strictly cleaning up to follow suit of the previous ordinance approved. However, given your comments, I'll certainly forward those on to the Public Works Director and the Staff Advisory Committee. There's always tree issues to be researched and our process to be amended from time to time, and we will add that to that concern and that observation to the list of items that might pertain to the community's tree ordinance. So those could be reviewed holistically at once on that subject.
Okay, that would be great. It's just I know that when these ordinances are drafted, it takes a lot of time and a lot of thought. So at some point, someone or some committee or some commission or some council decided that every 3 years we need to have this report. And so when that got voted on, the public is expecting every 3 years that the director is doing some form of report. So that would be nice to have that reviewed again. Thank you.
Just an offshoot question. Are there designated landmark trees? Have we actually done that?
Yes, we have landmark trees designated in the city. We have made staff has made report outs, but I have to agree, I don't think it's been at the frequency that's indicated here.
Those were my only questions. Do commissioners have any other questions?
Just a couple observations. I kind of think that Commissioner Terry Feller Payne's issue has been addressed when it comes down to the development and building permits. I just wanted to point out number 3, the strikeout of the HRC does include the ARC. And then F4, when it comes to demolitions, it also says permit to demolish a historical resource, the ARC, Community Development Director or Planning Commission, disapproval of the application, da-da-da-da-da. I'm just not sure if it's giving. I'm almost thinking that needs to be corrected, that it does go to the ARC and is just not approved by the development director. It's approved by a board, a public hearing. I like the idea of it being heard by the public, by either the ARC or the Planning Commission. If there's a historical resource that's being demoed, I think it needs to be reviewed in an open forum. And I don't think F4 quite says that. I think it could be clearer.
I have some experience with a historical resource and its definition in the city. And at this point, Mason Bar was not a designated historical resource. But what we have is an in-between right now, which I'd love to address this, but I don't believe it's in our purview tonight to do it. But that is a potentially historic resource, which basically is when you think about it, it's just about every building in our whole entire village potentially at some point gets old enough, stays nice enough, stays in its original condition long enough, it could be. So we open a can of worms with the current functional way that we're doing that, that every single alteration would come before us. I would be bringing an alteration of a building that's not really historically under the 7 criteria that the state gives us. It's not historic, but we've been very protective of our village just in the way that we've interpreted this potentially historic idea. So if you could get through that and it was actually designated historic, not potentially historic, I could go there with you, but not the other way around. Otherwise, it's going to create a quagmire of stuff coming before us that I think should be, it'd be administrative, especially for buildings that are not historic.
I would make a clarification on that. When we're talking about historic buildings, we're not just talking about the village guidelines. We're talking about all of Aurora Grandy. So there are historic places in Aurora Grandy, and I think, 50 years old defines it as being historic for evaluation?
What I'm talking about is that the village has its own historical guidelines, and because of that, those aren't applied anywhere else in the city but here.
Not that
a building can't be historic outside of a village, but I'm just talking about my personal experience with this area. Well, and I wouldn't want to see all these things come before us in buildings that are not historic, whether they be not historic outside of the village or inside of the village. That was my point.
So I had a call into staff today in regards to this, because I was also concerned about how many times I saw community development director, and I'd really appreciate if Matt could elaborate on our conversation, because what he clarified to me, and it might help the commissions here, is that at least for Section 9, A, B, and C, that these are all the community director almost just takes a look and makes sure that everything meets the 8 criteria that are laid out here, and that anything that is modified would need to go before the Planning Commission / ARC / City Council. Can you elaborate on that? Maybe give some clarity on that, Matt?
Certainly. So that was a pretty good summary of our conversation overall. Part of what we were discussing was particularly the designation portion of a historic resource. So in this case, we're talking about a specific, could be structure, could be district, could be water tower, could be any number of those types of things, that somebody from the community, whether it be a property owner, whether it be an interested party, whether it be a member of the Planning Commission, whether it be staff looking at a resource, saying we think we should move forward with this designation process. And what they do is they apply for this minor use permit for historic designation, and they provide whatever information they believe helps to support the case that it meets one of these 8 criteria. So, for instance, Ruby's House up the street, very clearly a historic resource for a number of different reasons. That's pretty easy, pretty well documented to whether it meets one of the 8 criteria or not. In that instance, it would be rather easy for the community development director to review the material, make that determination, and either approve it, which then gets reported to the Planning Commission on the items of administrative decision. But the example I gave earlier was, let's say, our current City Hall, which let's assume it was built in the 40s, 50s, and nothing significant has happened in that building. Nobody of significance has lived there, worked there, anything like that. It wasn't the first mortuary like we have down at the other end of the village. So that would be a harder case for somebody who wants to designate that building as historic to make, and they'd have to provide that extra material as to whether or not it meets one of these 8 criteria. In that case, the community development director does have the authority to defer that approval to the Planning Commission at a public hearing, in which case then it would be brought, all the information would be brought in front of the 5 commissioners at that time, and a determination made. Is that the part of our conversation you referenced?
Yes. Yeah, I just didn't know if that helped clarify anything.
that wasn't really my question. The issue was because we kept referencing back to the village and the historic guidelines here, but there are historic structures outside of the village that are still in Arroyo Grande, and if they are being addressed under this also, then, you know, either we need to know what the time frame is for that being declared historic. I thought someplace in the past it was if a building was over 50 years old, it's, you know, and has been continuously used, it becomes a historic structure.
That's not true. That's not one of the seven criteria. It
may not be on the seven criteria, but I'm saying in the past it has been an issue that's come up. And I'm asking, is it this or is this guideline only specific to the village? Because we're not addressing it on here.
So very simply, without getting into too much, there is a potential for other structures outside of the village to be considered historic under the California Environmental Quality Act, having not anything to do with the criteria specific to the village. And one of those potential criteria to look at is the age of the structure, and that generally is anything beyond 50 years is something on a checklist that we'll start looking at if it's a discretionary project. So simply stated, yes, CEQA applies everywhere, and if it's a discretionary project and non-exempt, and it's a potentially historic structure because of its age and many other criteria, it could be theoretically deemed as a historic resource just by virtue of being considered under the California Environmental Quality Act. That is apart from the specific criteria here in the village, and that is covered in this ordinance.
I have a question. The city, when an application comes in to remove a building and or modify a building that's 50 years or older, do we require anything of the applicant? And what I'm getting at is Pismo Beach and some of these other jurisdictions, they require you, if it's 50 years old, they just look at, you know, they also require a title report to understand how old the structure is. That's part of the submittal requirements. And if it's 50 years or older, they require a historian to do a historical report. And it's the cost is borne by the applicant. You know, it's not that expensive. But now that we don't have an HRC to be a good steward watching out for these buildings, we should defer that on to the applicant to provide that historical report if we're not asking for it now.
With or without an HRC, that remains an issue for us, and that for the simple reason you described, and that automatic requirement for any ministerial demolition is not in our code. That is on the work plan for items to be addressed. It is a concern. In many cases, it would be covered, but not all cases. So we do not have that automatic trigger for anything on a ministerial building permit for a demolition.
Could we include it to add it to this motion tonight and add another item?
I would not, only because the way this is been noticed and the sections, particular sections that would be noticed, it's not encompassed in this intent for this ordinance before you this evening. If the commission wishes staff to revisit that particular issue as a item in and of itself, then we can come back to you in the future with that consideration.
Well, I'd like to see it come back sooner than later. We do have structures that are targeted at the point that may be demolished before we could get back with that. So it needs to be done in a timely manner.
Any other questions? No?
Turn up to the public.
Comments?
Oh, we're not going to do the Parks and Recreation combined with this, or are we going to do that separate?
It's all one.
Well,
did you have any other questions for staff?
Well, I just, I was concerned with the Parks and Recreation Commission being dissolved too, because, you know, Roy Grandy has been, the pledge was for community. And we, and I was on softball for 18 years. I had three daughters in it and on the board for several years of that. And I know that there are a lot of kids who aren't financially able to pay that fee. We raised the fee and we had, were able to pay for them under scholarships. Now raising those fees for all these youth activities and to use the park seems a little bit out of line to me when you're just trading one expense for another, because if you don't provide the ability for these kids to play the sports activities, then they're going to be on the street. And then when they're on the street, then we may be expending more money for police security or response to, you know, public issues. So to me, and when it came forward before, and now we're doing a cleanup on it, I still have a problem with the Parks Department raising their fees for youth activities, for even adult activities. And the other thing, our preschool was originally established so that some parents who had a lower income had a place to leave their kids in a secure environment, who couldn't afford to send them to a private preschool or a private daycare. And now we've raised those fees, so are the fees being raised proportionately to the minimum wage law?
But Commissioner Fowler Payne, that's not in our purview. What is in our purview is to go over this and these changes. Do you have any questions regarding these changes?
It may be not on this list, but we're doing cleanup on it, and we already approved it.
So. But we're doing cleanup specifically what's on this list, and we did not approve anything. The City Council approved it. So the question is, do you have any questions for staff regarding anything on this agendized item here specifically?
Yeah, I do. Okay. Why wasn't that issue on this agendized item if it is a cleanup? Just because it's not written here doesn't mean it doesn't need to be cleaned up.
So that's a question posed to staff.
Yes.
fees and the benefits of a Parks and Rec Commission were in many ways discussed at the City Council, either during budget considerations or in the Ordinance 695, and that was indeed decided at that time at the Council. Again, I just would reiterate, the item before you is simply following that direction for consistency purposes and only for consistency purposes, making non-substantive changes to the ordinance so that we don't have conflicting language and references in the code.
At this time, I'll open it up to public comment. Did anyone in the public wish to speak on this item? No? Okay. Hearing no public comment, we'll bring it back to commission for comments. Commissioner Shiro, do you have any comments?
No comments.
Commissioner Mack?
I have no comment. I believe my questions were answered. And thank you for staff's time. I too, also called Matt earlier today to ask some questions, and thank you for answering those.
Okay. Commissioner Fowler Payne, last thoughts?
I've already made my comments.
Okay. I don't have any comments either on this item, so I'll entertain a motion.
Well, I'll move that we approve a resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Arroyo Grande recommending to the City Council introduce a cleanup ordinance amending various sections of Title II, Administration and Personnel, Title 10, Vehicles and Traffic, Title 12, Streets, Sidewalks, and Public Places, and Title 16, Development Code, of the Arroyo Grande Municipal Code Development Code Amendment Case Number 18 2018-004, and the location is citywide.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Can we get a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
Commissioner Shiro?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
No.
Commissioner George?
Yes. Motion carries 3-1. And that ends our public hearing items tonight. We'll move to non-public hearing items, and we have none. So we'll move to the notice of administrative decisions since September 4th, and we had one administrative decision regarding the South County Chamber of Commerce mixer. Did the commissioners have any questions regarding this?
No questions.
Commission Communications.
Well, I'd like to talk about what we were just talking about. If we want to make it an agenda, I think it's worth discussing on buildings that are 50 years, and if we want to come up with a different number, we don't have to, you know, be like all the other cities. But I really do think we should have an evaluation of buildings that are being demoed and are modified that are 50 years or older, because they may have some kind of historical significance. And I like to see it agendized.
The issue that I have with the 50-year number is that there's so many more criteria that go into it than that number alone. And buildings that are less than 50 can also qualify. The facades not having been significantly changed, and this is like one of those things where it could be common knowledge that a building like Mason Bar has been changed five times in the last 20, and everybody knows it. But to put something, and this would obviously be part of that discussion, as long as that discussion included all of the historical criteria and the potentially historic designation, I'd be for it. But the reason why I wanted to address Terry's number is that's public information. That's not even one-seventh, it's one-fiftieth the truth of what goes into the designation of a historical building. And I've been through all of those documents multiple times in multiple projects, and it's really complex. But I do agree that if the municipal code doesn't say anything about it right now, that, yeah, it definitely has to get brought up at some point. I'm not afraid that people are going to be rocking with a wrecking ball running around knocking down historical buildings between now and then, and I do know that Matt and Teresa and our staff have a huge number of things on their plate right now. So I would like to leave it up to them as to exactly when. I don't want to give them a deadline right now. That's my personal take on it.
So this is just a discussion to see if, you know, there's enough interest to put it on the agenda to discuss. This isn't to discuss the mechanics of it and how it works. For me, if it was more information that brings to light what it is the applicant's doing, and the work is really borne by the applicant hiring a consultant to do a report. It's not staff's time that's going to be doing the report or anything like that. It's, you know, here's a box of a submittal requirement that's required with your application. And then if any historical reference is found, then we need to talk about, what was found, and is that important? Is that significant? But right now, things are just going to be going through with no checks and balances, and we'll hear about it after the fact.
I wasn't recommending the 50-year... But you do have to have something that kicks it off or references to start it. So, and I knew that 50 years is a designated time frame statewide on a historical document. So, I mean, staying consistent with that is the only reason of going with 50. If you found something that was 40 or 30 or whatever, I'm just saying that we need to have something because buildings and structures have been demoed in the past.
I agree. We do need to have something, but I think we do have something. That's the appearance that there's nothing protecting these buildings is I think, fallacy. And I'd like to hear staff's, right now, their opinion on what would happen. Somebody, they have to bring in a permit. They have to bring in an application to do something, what would be the process right now that would protect somebody from being able to knock down a historic building or severely alter one? I guess that's my question.
Somebody's going to have to review it.
That's my question.
So, commissioners, from what I can tell from this discussion is that there is interest in addressing this. If there's a potential loophole in terms of ministerial demolitions, and we're we'll certainly be happy to bring that back to the commission without getting into a prolonged discussion here this evening on an item that wasn't actually officially listed on the agenda this evening. So if that's the, and I just see mostly nods, we'll be happy to address that. We do have some priority projects that we have underway certainly now, but that is a that is an item that has been on our radar already, and given the discussion this evening, we'll be happy to address that and bring it back in some form with alternatives for your consideration. No deadline.
Commissioner Mack, did you want to make a motion to agendize the item?
Yeah, I would like to make a motion that this item comes back before us in whatever form for discussion with all the planning commissioners, including with Glenn.
Second.
So we have a motion and a second. Can we get a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
Commissioner Shiro?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Yes.
And Commissioner George?
Yes. Motion carries. Any other discussions tonight?
We have Harvest Festival coming.
We have Harvest Festival coming.
We also have the Arroyo Grande Beer Feast coming October 13th.
Very nice.
Five Cities Homeless Coalition is the benefit charity. Well, tickets are still available. So.
We have the Scarecrow issue, and or not issue, but contest that's for all the commercial buildings. So if people aren't aware of it, that's coming up. I think they judge on the 24th. Before the Harvest Festival, and it'll be announced on that Friday night. And I have one.
Very nice. Okay. Staff communications?
Aside from just announcing, we have a fabulous scarecrow in our lobby at City Hall.
Very nice.
Other than that, I have no communications.
Okay. And with that, I will adjourn tonight's meeting.